And it is my pleasure to introduce Helen. Take it away.
Hi everyone, my name's Helen and I'm an addict. Okay, so where I started was when I got clean. So I was introduced to NA in 1986, and I came to NA in desperation, because I could no longer live the way I was living. So I basically was, my life was totally unmanageable. Everything that I had fallen away. I was, it got to the point where I was just couch surfing in friends' homes. I was not enjoying life. I would have given anything to have been that normal person catching the bus, doing normal things, which I was not doing anymore. And it was the and it they were the very things I had rebelled against growing up. I didn't want to be boring. I didn't want to be normal. I didn't want to be straight, as we said. I wanted to be cool. And so cool got me into a whole lot of trouble. And I remember, one of my rock bottoms, which I know isn't may not be for everyone, but I would. At lunchtime, my friends and I would be watching a soap, right? The Young and the Restless. And we knew that halfway through The Young and the Restless, it was time to get up, walk up the street, get on the bus, go take a 20-minute bus ride to get to a particular spot in a park where we'd meet our dealer, right? And that's what we would do. And so we would gather together our few little cents. And meet that dealer. And that was our life, And then we'd go back. Now, this particular home was in one of the most beautiful places on the planet. It's a place called Tamarama Beach. We never looked out the window. We never looked out the window at this most beautiful place, which strikes me now. Anyway, and it was so fucking mundane, Talk about mundane. What a boring, pathetic existence it was. Anyway, I reached out for help. I found someone. I remembered that I had a friend who we'd used together, and I knew he got clean. And I called him, and he gave me a phone number of a woman who I'd never met. And I called this woman, and this woman spoke to me. I said, "Hi, look, my name's Helen. I'm really messed up. I don't know what to do. Jeff gave me your number." And she talked to me, and she gave me phone numbers of a detox. And she said, "Ring them. If you really want to change, you need to take the steps to change." So I called this detox and off I went. My brother-in-law, who was also an addict, drove me to this detox. He gave me a big snort right before I went in the door. And I went in, and that was the last time I used. And that was November the 10th, 1986. So November the 11th was my first day clean. And within a couple of days at that detox, there was a meeting held there, an NA meeting. And it wasn't like an H&I, like an information thing. It was an actual physical meeting. So lots of people came and sat in this meeting. It was a proper NA meeting. And for the first time in my life at that meeting, I had found people I related to. And that was what that reading mentioned, also the reading we read earlier about the connection, that we weren't, I thought, okay, I'm not Robinson Crusoe. I'm not alone. There are other people just like me. They all look different. They were different. They came from different walks of life. But we scratched the surface and we all had these same insecurities and these feelings. And they were all using, or they had been using, and they had found a way through. So I thought, I was home. I was actually home. So it was quite easy for me, that transition. And I was lucky also, I was very lucky to have been born in a place that had universal health care, that had all this stuff. And back then, the government gave us you know, money. It was made it really easy for addicts to get clean. NA was quite young and popular. So I went from detox to rehab. I was in rehab for 3 months, well cared for. You know, the government paid for everything. And then I went to Halfway House, again, all paid for. I was there for a couple of months, found a, you know, went to meetings every single day, found a recovery house, moved in with them, and again, went to meetings every single day. And, you know, that's pretty much all I did the whole way through. So by this stage, I'm about 6 months clean. I still had no idea how I was feeling, what I was feeling. I wasn't that in touch with myself. That has taken me decades to become in touch with myself. All I knew is I didn't want to use. That's all I knew. And the way I did that was I went to meetings every single day. What also happened was I was young. I was 28 when I got clean. And suddenly I was having my life back. And suddenly I was growing up in public, in recovery. And all the things I had pushed away were back. And, you know, particularly with relationships and rejection, that sense of rejection, that's what, you know, I have discovered over the years that that is something I just could not cope with. I couldn't cope with rejection from friends, from lovers at all. And when I found my drug of choice, I didn't have to worry about that anymore because that's all I needed to get me through. It numbed me. And, you know, like I know we talk about working the steps and working this program without a God. Well, initially, the God didn't worry me. I grew up in a Greek Orthodox home and we had icons, you know, all around us. And whilst I didn't like that God was a vengeful and wrathful God, I thought, okay, I've got to trade that God in and find a loving, caring God. So I tried that. I tried praying, you know, but it never really worked for me. I did a fourth and fifth step, but I found them really shaming. And I kept inventing gods and higher powers and, you know, people say, oh, it can be the tree and it can be this and it can be that. And I hated it all. I really, really did. And I stayed away from meetings for a long time. I grew up in public. There were a lot of things that happened, which I won't go into here. And I was pretty much shunned by a number of people. I lost my partner, my son's father, he picked up and died, overdosed. Then I married someone who then decided to do something he shouldn't have done and ended up in a prison in America for 2 years. So then I was left with two children alone. Then my best friend died in childbirth and then I ended up having an affair with her husband. Well, there you go. And so that meant that everyone shunned me then. So I was pretty fucked. And I wasn't working the program as I should have. Because all I had was the old tools, you know. And throughout that all, I never found a God. And so I stayed away. But what I didn't do was pick up. And what I did do was try and find other ways to deal with the trauma. And they were, you know, I actually left Sydney and I moved up here My husband and I worked through many things. I kept talking. I still had friends in NA. I kept talking to people. I did more fourth steps with caring sponsors, specifically on a topic that was obviously an issue for me. But I gave up God. I absolutely gave up God because, you know, I just don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. A God to me would not take my best friend whilst she in childbirth. You know, what sort of a fucking God is that? And I still don't believe in God. So when I found secular NA, it was a blessing because it helped me come back, and now it helps me go back to normal meetings and be able to state my atheism and know that it's okay. It's okay that I don't have to believe in God. I kept getting really confused, you know, handing things over. Handing, what do you mean handing things over? How does that work? What do I do to hand things over? You know, I've also gone outside and sought outside help, which has also helped. I do practical things. You know, I'll sit quietly. I'll go for a walk in nature. You know, when they talk about having spiritual awakening. When I first got clean, my spiritual awakening was not looking at my feet anymore, was looking up at the sky and looking up at the treetops and looking up at the look and realizing I hadn't looked and looking out over that beautiful beach that I hadn't seen for all those years. That was my spiritual awakening. I don't even like the term spiritual, you know. I just don't like it. For me, I follow, you know, the God, if you like, is inside me. It's my own intuition. I feel it. I know when I'm acting outside of that, and I know when that's going to hurt me and others. And I need to listen to that voice. And the longer I stay clean, the more I have to just live with myself and be honest with myself. It's really hard to hide from yourself and from your demons and from everything, because there is no, you know, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't take drugs. The only thing I've got left is coffee, and I'm not giving that up, you know, and I'm even, you know, all food. So I have none of that anymore, and it's hard to hide from yourself. And so being honest, you know, I have taken, but they're the principles, aren't they? Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I take that away. I take away that I'm in rooms with other like-minded people, that none of us are perfect, that we all make mistakes. Growing up in recovery has been really hard, you know, but I have the privilege of growing old. And I am now, I'll be 67 in a couple of months. So my best friend didn't have that opportunity. And my father's son didn't have that opportunity. He died at 31 from this disease. So I have the privilege of growing old, and I don't want to waste it. And, you know, I come back to meetings because I love hearing other people's stories. And even though I think, oh, I've got nothing to give, you know, I didn't work the steps properly, and I, you know, didn't have a connection with God, and I didn't do this and blah, 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 I always hear something that helps me and that calms me. You know, when I'm crazy mad, I can jump on a meeting. I do women's meetings mainly. And again, we're all different in that meeting, but there's always something to relate to, and I do feel love in the meetings, and I continue to feel love in the meetings. I've made some wonderful friends. My best friends in the world are, you know, I made in recovery because they get me. I've achieved a lot in my life. I've raised two children. I have a successful marriage. I have a successful business. Not that those things are milestones, but I couldn't have done it. I would have been dead. Or I would have been, I don't know where I would have been. But I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't be leaving. You know, I'm a productive, responsible member of society now. And, you know, that is one thing from NA, like it's important to give back, but I can also give back to the community. I can give back in other ways. I can give back to society. And I do that. I volunteer in a number of ways I can. I'm an activist. And is that my time? And in
about you 5 know, like, minutes.
Okay. Like children, that we know we've done a good job when we've raised them and we can send them out into the world and they can live productive lives. I feel that's what NA has given me. It has enabled me to grow up and go out into the world and live a productive life and give back. And so through all the mistakes I make, and I only share them because, you know, I'm human and I came in with demons, and those demons resurfaced when I put down the drugs, and when crises happened, they resurfaced. And I dealt with them through honesty and open-mindedness and willingness and, yeah, and through, that's how I dealt with them, and I continue to deal with them. And if you need outside help, go and seek outside help. That's the other thing I'll say, you know, because when I first got clean, people were, everything was in these rooms, and that's not true, you know. The only promise in NA is the freedom from active addiction. It doesn't promise anything else, you know, so we have to seek help where we need it. Yeah, I'm waffling now, so I'm going to leave it. So thank you very much for your patience. Thanks.